Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Apologies can soften hearts and forgiveness can heal deep wounds, but pride, fear, or hurt often stand in the way. In both personal and professional settings, learning to say, "I'm sorry," or "I forgive you," can be a powerful peacemaking act. You all let me know, what is more difficult to say, "I'm sorry" or "I forgive you"? Is it easier to apologize or is it easier to forgive? Both of them very difficult things to do, but let's talk about it. The number is +27 7347 035 20. Pastor Andrew Mkandawira joins us once again. My pastor, good morning and welcome once again to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good morning to you too.
All right. I knew this was coming up. I knew that at some point we're going to have to talk about apologizing and forgiving. And this one is always a tricky subject because sometimes I wonder if there's even a right and wrong answer to any of the questions that we have. But let's talk about it. We can't avoid this in any healthy relationship. At some point, someone's going to hurt someone, right? Now, why is it sometimes harder to apologize, especially to family, than to colleagues or vice versa? Why is it more difficult to apologize or to make peace with people who we actually love and care for?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. It is true. It's more difficult to apologize in a situation in a relation where there's a lot more at stake than what meets the eye. So family often comes with deeper emotional ties, and these are built over a long period of time, and they are complex in nature. Like, the emotions involved in the family relations, very complex compared to those that are among professionals. Yeah. And so as a result of this, the stakes are high. It raises the stakes, the complex nature of the relationship. And so apologizing involves admission of fault. Now this, to some people, can cause them to fear that their mere admission could damage the relationship further, or it could make them seem weak.
Yeah.
In other instances, admission of fault can threaten one's self-esteem and thus their identity. It can also cause one to feel emotionally vulnerable, especially when the relationship is very close. And then there are some instances where some cultures place a heavier burden on males, such that it becomes harder for a husband, for example, to apologize to his own wife, because culture says a husband should not be seen to be weak, and an apology is a sign of weakness. And so it is harder when the stakes are higher. And so that is why it is harder sometimes to apologize to family.
And it's also harder to forgive family than to forgive strangers or,
you know, the for the same reason.
Now, what does a genuine apology look like? This is an important one because, you know, it's very easy to say, "Oh, fine, I'm sorry." Are you happy I said sorry? And we see this. We laugh about it when we see children doing it, but we see it even in our own relationships. Our children, we force them, when you do something wrong, go say sorry, even in person, sorry. But then we carry that over into our adult relationships. And in adulthood, we actually want someone to mean it. As kids, we don't care. As long as you said sorry, it's fine. Let's move on. But as adults, we want it to be meaningful. What does that actually look like?
Oh, yeah. I was very tempted to go to scripture to answer this question, but I avoided the temple. A genuine apology looks like this. It is a complete acknowledgement of one's fault. It is free from blame on the other party. It is a complete sorrowing over the hurt that one has done. And it is a willingness not to repeat the mistake. That is what a genuine apology looks like. And so you own your own actions and you don't put the blame. No, I did that because you did this. You own your part of the mistake. And if you are genuinely acknowledging your part of the mistake, the other party will see their own contribution.
Yeah.
And it is on them to then acknowledge that they did contribute.
Right.
But if a genuine apology, it must come from you and free of condemnation of the other party. That is what I would say would be a genuine apology without turning to scripture.
Right. I am interested in what scripture says and how scripture would define a genuine apology. But I've also heard these kinds of apologies that have, they kind of come with a caveat. It'll be like, I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm sorry that you feel offended by what I did. Then I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry that what I did made you feel offended. Is that a valid apology? Sometimes someone will say, I'm just trying to be honest because I don't think I did anything, but I am sorry that it hurt you, so that's why I'm apologizing that way. Is that a valid apology?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
It is not. And so for as long as you are shifting the blame and you are excusing your actions, it is not. And so that is what shifting the blame does. It excuses you. And so it's not really a genuine because you are simply failing to acknowledge your own action. And so because you spoke about scripture and you were interested in scripture, at the top of my head, very quickly, this is one I could tend to.
Okay.
So Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit and God now comes to show the sin. I mean, they already know that they have sinned. But God just comes to show the seriousness of the sin. So he calls to Adam. Now, in verse 11, the Bible says, and he said, let's do verse 11, it's all right.
Okay.
Than the Bible says. So Adam says he hid from the voice of God because he heard him and he was naked. So God says to him, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And here's the answer, verse 12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me it and I ate.
Right.
All right, Adam. Have you eaten? Yes. But he said, no. The woman whom you gave me, she gave me and I ate.
Yeah.
So the blame is not Adam's completely. Yeah. It is also Eve's as well. But God is talking to Adam. So that's the idea. When we shift the blame, we fail to acknowledge our own faults.
Sure. So
And the apology is not genuine like that.
Well, I'm looking at this example that you're giving of Adam and Eve, and I wonder, are there situations maybe where we feel like, yeah, sure, I know I'm guilty, but I can explain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I ate the fruit. I did. But also, this woman, though, she gave me the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes I think it's difficult to just say, yes, I was wrong, because that feels so, it feels so final. It feels so definitive. And like I just wanted to, I'm sure Adam is thinking, no, if I just say yes, it sounds like I just make a decision that, you know, I'm just going to disobey God.
Yeah.
But there are so many things that went through my mind to the point where I finally made this terrible decision to disobey my God. And so that's why we feel like I have to explain. Wait, I can explain that. And then sometimes it comes off as an excuse. I don't know. This is why I said this subject needs so much time. The subject is so...
Because I want to make a comment from what you have just said, but I'm afraid I may not have the time.
Go ahead,
may I?
Please.
Oh, great. So you're saying there's always an explanation to our actions.
Ah.
The truth is, God knew there was an explanation. And God being God, he knew everything. So he knew Adam was wrong. But when we hate fellow human beings, even the human beings who do not know all things like God does, they know there's an explanation somehow to our actions because we hate them. So like, for example, we are brothers and sisters, so we are raised in the same family.
Yeah.
And then I hate you through actions or words. But because of our relationship, you would probably know and understand where I came from. Yes, it was hurt you, but you'd probably know where I came from. But it would still be wrong of me to have done it. And so in one way or another, you still do understand. There's an explanation to it, and you understand it. But the wrong is still done, and I need to own my wrong, my actions.
Sure.
Even though the explanation, and I could explain something and make it lighter, but it has been done and it is wrong.
Yeah.
And so even when there's an explanation, and there always is, the apology is never genuine when we forward the explanation first.
Mm.
And so we own our actions, our wrongs, our faults, and then as we sit to reconcile, then we can explain ourselves further.
Yeah.
But for forgiveness sake, it must come from a genuine place and it must come free of blame of the other party.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes mm-hmm. I also hear people talking about forgiveness, and they talk about how, you know, I had to forgive for my own peace of mind, for my own you know, spiritual peace and things like that. How does forgiving someone benefit your own peace of mind more, sometimes even more than the person who's asking for forgiveness?
Oh yeah. Let me make a few statements, then I'll answer this question. The first is, the burden of grudge carrying is heavier on the person who carries it.
Mm.
And being hurt or being wronged comes with emotional baggage. Emotions like anger, resentment. And unfortunately, our bodies were never meant to carry such emotions for extended periods of time. Because, you know, these emotions are caused by hormones. And every type of hormone in our bodies was never meant to be in running through our blood, our veins for extended periods. Whatever hormones that those are, they were never meant to be in our blood for extended periods. So anger and resentment prolonged, kept in our body, in our blood, in our system for too long, becomes damaging to our bodies. And so it is for these reasons that forgiveness becomes a way of safeguarding yourself, your mental health, your emotional health.
Yeah.
And so it becomes your benefit to forgive others. And that's why you've heard people say, I have forgiven for my own peace of mind, for my sake.
Yeah.
I let go of this. And because when you release the anger, when you let go of the resentment, the immediate beneficiary is yourself and not the other person. Like I said earlier, it is those of us who carry the grudge that carry the heaviest burden, because it is heavier on us. The other person is not feeling the weight of the grudge you're carrying.
Yeah.
It is you who is, and so it becomes your burden. And so forgiveness is good for you. Mm-hmm. And it benefits us, brings peace of mind to us, because it helps mend relationships. And when relationships are mended, it brings in turn peace of mind.
Mm.
And so in every angle you look at it, forgiveness is beneficiary to the one giving it first, and then secondary to the person who's receiving it.
Sure. So I was asking the listeners earlier that, you know, there are times where someone will feel, you know, because of hearing these stories, you know, I've heard about people who say after they forgave, they felt so much peace mm-hmm. in their hearts. They felt lighter. The grudge went away, and, you know, happy ending, happily ever after. And so something mm-hmm. was done against me, and I say, okay, I also want that kind of peace. So to the person who has hurt me, I forgive you. But I don't yeah. really feel that peace, and I don't really get to that point of feeling that, that elation, that happily ever after. I'm still feeling pain from what was done to me.
Yeah.
I still kind of feel heaviness when I think about the thing that was done to me. Is there something mm-hmm. that I'm doing wrong? How do we actually forgive in a way that is, in a way that will lead to that kind of peace? Because I think there are many people who say, okay, fine, I'm tired of being angry, I'm tired mm-hmm. of feeling heavy, I forgive you. But it doesn't go away. That feeling of heaviness doesn't go away. What's happening there?
Yeah. So sometimes we rush into forgiving.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let me say this. Sometimes we rush into forgiving when we have not processed our own pain. Mm. And so, because we haven't processed the extent to which we have been hurt, and so we still carry that pain in our hearts, the forgiveness may be superficial. Mm. It is possible to reconcile with somebody and yet you have not forgiven them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And so what happens is when we are hurt and the extent is great, mm. there is need to heal from the hurt. Also, and so when you forgive somebody who has hurt you, you also must forgive yourself mm. for hurting. Yeah. And so you could let go of somebody and release them from that guilt, but you still hold on to the guilt yourself. You still hold on to the pain yourself. You have not processed this thing. It is still in you. And as a result, you begin to feel it even after offered forgiveness. And so sometimes great that it is good that we process the whole thing. We take the time to heal from the whole thing and forgive ourselves for being in a place where we were hurt. You know, there are times when, let's talk about rape, for example.
Okay.
Somebody is innocently raped. They found themselves in a place where, they were innocent, but they got raped in the process.
Mm.
And somehow they managed to forgive the raper.
Yeah.
But they still believe, if I had not gone to that place,
mm.
maybe I would not have.
Mm.
And so you've forgiven the let me call them the criminal, the perpetuator. You've forgiven them. But you feel somehow it was my fault. I shouldn't have gone to that place. I shouldn't have been there. And so you shift the blame from the actual offender to yourself, even when you have released them of the guilt. And so it is important that we also heal from the hurt that is done to us
yeah.
and take the time to process the feelings, the consequences, and heal from them. Then we can completely let go of this. I experienced this not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was extremely hurt, extremely. And being a child of God, I thought it was easy for me to let go. I told myself I had forgiven. Mm-hmm. In fact, the reason I didn't think too much about it was I was actually angry more at God than this human being.
Yeah.
And so I didn't feel it was very difficult for me to forgive. But when my resentment against God for allowing this to happen ended, I did not realize that I had not processed my feelings against mm-hmm. this person.
Mm-hmm.
So after years, God just brought it back to me, like he flashed it in my mind in the night. And I just realized, I remember waking up realizing, oh yeah, I need to let this person go.
Hey.
Like God had just spoken to me about it and says, you haven't forgiven this person.
Hmm.
And so, and that is me personally, it happened to me. So it is important that we process these feelings, the hurt, and completely heal from it in order to let it go.
Wow. Sure. Now, as we're concluding, Pastor, can forgiveness exist without reconciliation?
Yes, 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 it can. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So forgiveness is releasing an offender from condemnation. Mm. It is letting go of the resentment and the anger and the need to, the desire for revenge. That's what forgiveness is. Mm-hmm. It is an internal process, and it takes one person to forgive. But reconciliation takes two people to happen. It takes two people to mend a broken relationship. Mm-hmm. But it takes one person to forgive. And so you can forgive a person and they have not even apologized.
Right.
Like God forgave us before we even apologized.
Yeah.
And so it is possible for forgiveness to happen, to exist, even when there is no apology. And so there is no need for reconciliation to actually take place for forgiveness to happen. It can happen before reconciliation takes place, because reconciliation takes two people, but forgiveness takes the one who has been offended.
Mm. Mm. Sure. Beautiful. What a powerful, powerful subject this is, and obviously so much more that we can cover. And we'll be connecting tomorrow as we conclude our conversation on peacemaking in our lives. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through once again.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.